In the last hour, we were studying creation, the fall, and the flood, and what the Bible has to say about it. And the Bible makes it clear that God created everything that in this creation in 6 days. There is changes, you know, it keeps going on, but it's not producing new material or anything. It's the creation is finished. The total quantity is finished and has been since the first 6 days of our of the creation. And then we notice the fall, and of course that's according to the laws of that everything, nothing's being created now and nothing is being taken away. The first law of thermodynamics. So that is the is in complete agreement with that basic law of science. And then we noticed in the fall that the quality of matter is going down. There is death. There is decay. Some things are going extinct. Some forms. And so that shows a downward trend. Well, that's the fall is just backing up what the Bible has said in those chapters 3, 4, and 5. And we mentioned the second law of thermodynamics. Things are going downward or to decay and death. And then in the flood, it mentions something the Bible brings out. There was a total destruction of the whole earth by water. And the Bible teaches that the highest mountains were covered. And then in science, the highest mountains, all of the highest mountains, have evidence of sedimentary rocks and fossils at the highest near the summit, which shows water was that high. Well, you have water at the highest level in all these mountains. Water seeks its own level, it would be over the whole earth. A total universal flood. And so it backs up what the Bible is saying. And science backs that up. As I quoted from a scientist last hour. But now what we want to do is say, what does evolution say in contrast? Let's take a look at the new sheet that was passed out tonight. And you'll notice here that evolution is taught in many books. And these books, they're changing. They don't always tell the same story they told some years ago. They keep learning new things. The Bible has not changed. What the Bible said about creation, the fall, and the flood is the same. But what they taught about evolution in the past, some things, they don't say it anymore because it was wrong. The Bible doesn't have to have any new additions to correct things where they made mistakes, because there aren't any. The teachings are correct, and it's God's Word. But in the evolution view, there are many books, and through time, these books have changed the story on some things. They've learned different things and said, no, that can't be true, so they come up with another theory. Evolution in these books is received by faith. It's it is not evolution itself. The idea of it is there's no really proof of it in science. And so the Bible, we accept what God said, how it happened, and we do see that things in this world substantiate and back up the biblical record. But we receive that by faith, and some people receive evolution by faith. Now, what is it that they say about creation? Well, first of all, they say there isn't any creation. There wasn't any need to create anything because it already all existed. It's always existed. You'll find variations on this. Some say, well, God created. Some say, well, I believe in evolution, but I think God started it all and then it began to evolve. Well, there's different. They'll take a little bit from the Bible, about that much, and then they start adding a lot of evolution. But we shouldn't mix it. We shouldn't mix God's Word with anything. So anyway, they say matter has existed, And I mentioned there are various ideas. They're not always exactly alike. But the basic idea of evolution is that evolution, the matter, determines the creatures, the plants, the human being and everything. Matter determines that. God didn't do it, but matter determined it. And even people who believe that God began it all, then they think matter then took over there and began to evolve. But anyway, the basic view is there is no God. God is not needed because matter's always been here, and all this has evolved on its own. How did it evolve? 6 days? No. They said it happens very slowly, small changes. Well, you know, God didn't make small changes. One day he created man, period. Within a 24-hour period, I don't know how long within that 24-hour period, but it was within one day he created man. Made his body, made his soul, made his being, and there he was. But they said man developed slowly, step by step. It was on the installment plan. And was it a long period of installment? Over and over and over it for years. In fact, they say billions of years for everything. Now, they say life, human life, in the last millions. And I don't know how many millions they've changed on that, too. But the whole thing, the basic, every kind of thing that is evolved, it's been billions of years. Well, that is beyond our comprehension, anything like that. But anyway, that's what they say. The idea of these small changes and man evolving into a higher and higher life form, all of that is the teaching. But what evidence do they have of that? If man was evolving slowly up to this time, and man, is, according to this, is still evolving, has reached the height yet, why don't we see the changes? Because we don't see the changes because when human beings reproduce, they reproduce what they are. They have a boy or a girl, and they're just like the same kind of thing that they are. And they stay within the God of the perimeters of a human being. There's variety within a kind, but they stay within that. And we can't produce something beyond those perimeters. We're limited in that way. And that's true of every kind, not only human beings, but all kind of plant life, all kinds of animal life, and birds and fish. And so the idea of evolution is very, very slow. Nobody can see it. And you'd say, well, where are these changes? Well, they're so slow you can't see them. You can never see it in a lifetime or in many lifetimes. It's so very slow. And you just can't see it. Well, how do you know? Well, because of evolution. That's why we're evolving. Well, how do you know it's evolving? Well, because we are. Well, that's faith. But what evidence do you have? It's a blind faith. It's a wrong faith, I think. Very wrong. But what evidence do you have? Well, they don't have any real evidence. No evidence. Other than they just believe it. So, you see how different it is. No creator to begin with. Small, gradual changes in contrast to God creating everything one day, another day, and another, in 6 days, you got it all done. Amazing. And if you'd taken a couple of years, it would have been amazing. It took 6 days. But they say evolution in contrast, very, very slow changes over a long, long time. It's amazing. So you see how different it is. And they say these changes are going upward, slowly upward. Well, the fall says that since man sinned very early in Adam's life, Adam and Eve's life. They sinned even before they had their first child. They sinned, and things have begun to go down physically, spiritually, in every way among human beings, and a curse upon the earth where man has been given dominion. And so they say just the opposite. Things are gradually getting better and better and better. You can't see it because it's so slow. And so that's the difference, very, very different. And so this contradicts the fall, and it contradicts what we really see. We see what the Bible says about the fall in sin. That fits in exactly what the Bible says, what we see today. We see all the sin and corruption and wickedness that was in the when fall, the sin first came in the days of Adam and Eve, and then you see it in the days after that, up to the flood, the wickedness, and then after the flood. It's very, very wicked. Look at the murders and the robberies and the lies and the idolatry and the just terrible and the adulteries and fornication, the wickedness that's in this world and has been in this world and has come about with the wars and all kinds of terrible things. And so this fits right in what the Bible said about the fall and about the flood, how bad things were and how God brought his wrath upon the world. But evolution is in stark contrast to what the Bible teaches, and the idea of billions of years in contrast to 6 days. And the fact that there's no creator, then there's no God to be obeyed. You say, well, we make our own rules. We're responsible, and we don't have anybody we're accountable. This world is just evolved on its own, and therefore we're not accountable to anybody. And we make our own rules. And some of them, and more, not one or two, but been a number of them that have stated, that are evolutionists, that they have the freedom to do what they want, and they're glad it's come, because that's what really brought it all about. Man wants to be free in what he does, and some of them brought out they want to be free sexually to do what they want. They don't want the Bible restriction, thou shalt not commit adultery, not to commit fornication, not to be a homosexual, and things like that. They want to be free to do what they want to do. And not only that, they want to be free to do other things too, to lie when what's convenient for them, and to steal when it's convenient, and to do whatever they want to do. So it's very, very different from what the Bible teaches. So no God to be obeyed. I'd like for you to notice something what the Bible says. Psalm 14. Psalm 14, the very first verse. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. So that's what the Bible says. The same thing is taught in Psalm 53 and is taught elsewhere. And sometimes not exactly in those words, but is taught elsewhere that sin are denying God's existence and God's being in this world and doing the things he does, anybody denies that is a fool. You say, well, you just call on names. No, I'm just quoting a verse of Scripture.
That's right.
I agree with that Scripture, but that's inspired of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And God has said, it says here, in that 14th chapter in verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, inspired of God. All right. Now, and of course, the basic idea of almost all evolution is there is no God. We're not accountable. We're free to do what we want to do. I can run my life the way I want to, period. So that's the way they feel about it. All right, what about the fall? What did they think about the fall? Number one, no God to disobey. So you can't fall. If God doesn't exist, and he hasn't made any laws. And so there's no way, no matter what we do, we can't fall from anything. They're denying God. They deny his laws automatically. They deny any accountability or any punishment to come from it or any consequences. And so that's that first basic premise. They teach no God to disobey, so you can't fall. And then number two, man evolves in religious and social matters. That's kind of interesting to notice. They not only believe in biological evolution, that the human being in their body evolves, and in their whole being, their inner life, their nature, the human nature, their spirit and soul, they're evolving totally in their being. But they say outside of man, in the activities of man, his religion has evolved. And I've read where they said, well, years ago when man began to get out of the ape stage, according to them, he was kind of like an ape, and he began to become more human-like. And when he became just a very primitive human being, at first he was very superstitious, and he was afraid of a lot of things he didn't understand. He didn't understand why this happened or that. And so he began to thought there was a God over here, the wind that was causing problem, and there's a God over here in this volcano, and there was a God here and there and everywhere, and there was a God of everything. Many, many gods, according to that. And he thought, I've got to appease these gods, so it'll be nice to me. And so he worshipped the wind, and he worshipped the trees or whatever. He worshipped a lot of different gods. And, of course, we know there have been religions, lots of different gods, and people worshipping idols. And they worshipped many gods, and that was their religion. But as they evolved, they became more sophisticated. And they said, well, we shouldn't do that. Make idols to the wind or an idol to the mountain and worship that, but we should get more sophisticated. And so they changed their religion and became more, they would be evolving. And finally, they came to the idea of one God. There would be one God, and he would be in charge of everything. And they began to worship him. And then he said they'll keep evolving until there won't be any God. They'll realize, hey, there isn't anything. I've been scared of all this time. There's nothing to be scared of. I'm okay. Now, that was the idea. Religion, there's an evolution in religion. And people feel better, so they come and they sing praises and they pray, and that makes them feel better. And, that's part of the evolutionary process. Well, that's not true. It's not true. There's a God that created the world, and he has blessed us abundantly, and we see that, and we want to acknowledge that and praise him and obey him and please him in every way because he's God, of who he is and what he's done. And it's not superstition. It's based on truth. But some, they don't believe a God, but they know that people believe there's a God. Many people believe in many gods. And therefore, see, if they're just evolving from this stage to this stage to this stage, and finally they'll wise up, and all of a sudden they'll come to, hey, I understand this and this and this. I have nothing to be afraid of. And I've now evolved in religion, and what have I come to? There isn't any God to obey. I'm okay. Well, that's sad. Sad indeed, and very foolish. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So there's this idea of religious evolution. And then there is social matters. People have evolved in treating social problems in our world. And there's political evolution. economic. And they think they've evolved to better situations. So they have brought it into many, many areas, and they think we're just getting better in all these areas. Not only physically, man is evolving, but then in all of his activities. If he's religious, he's evolving there and learning till he learns there isn't any God, and he's evolving in economics where he can finally handle everything, and he's evolving in political matters, and he's evolving in social matters, and they look at everything in that light. And so when we think of evolution, when a person has the idea of evolution, many times it involves every aspect of their life. Now, some people out in the world, they don't pay any attention to this sort of thing, but a lot of people do, and they believe this is true, and that's the way they look at things. And it's had a tremendous effect, and I think a bad effect upon people, an evil effect, because they've left God out and they don't understand. They don't understand what life is really all about. And they take this evolving in religion, for example, it takes a lot of time. And the same with political evolution does too. They'd say, well, years ago people, they were just a few people living together, and they start fussing and fighting. They couldn't get along. Finally, they decided to make a few laws so they can work together politically and some way to govern them. And then they got more sophisticated and more advanced, and that's the way they done it. And it said it takes time. They became more primitive, from a less primitive state to a more advanced state. Well, what does the Bible say? God said man was perfect to begin with. He had a tremendous mind. Adam named the animals. Can you imagine naming all the animals? There's a lot of different animals, and he named them. And he knew so much. He had a mind that wasn't affected by sin. He was perfect. And he had a brain that hadn't been affected by sin. If he hadn't sinned, he'd be living today. He'd live forever, and he would not deteriorate. He would not grow old. He'd be perfect. He was perfect, and he'd continue that way. But see, the evolution, always think of we're coming up. Here we are in this primitive state, and we're getting a little more sophisticated and civilized, and we'll get a little more and a little more, and finally we'll reach perfection, their idea of perfection, not God's idea. And all of these ideas in evolution takes much time in their theory. And it takes so much time that nobody can see it. I say, why do they need all this time? Well, they don't see it themselves. They believe it's got to be there. And they don't really see all this evolution. But it's got to be there. And so a lot of time is necessary, and a tremendous lot of faith, because you talk about blind faith. That is really blind faith. And then because there's no fall, there's no need of a Savior. If man has not fallen into sin, if there wasn't any God to disobey, of course, we don't need the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need a Savior to be born of a virgin, live a perfect life, and die for our sins, rise from the dead. We don't need that if we're perfect. Or we're just evolving on our own. We're not accountable to any God. So there's no need of a Savior. Notice what John 3:36 makes it very clear. The Lord just states the truth. It doesn't argue about it, just states it. And I think he makes this very clear in this passage and many others too, but here he makes it very clear. Notice what it says. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And people can have their views, but when it all comes down to it, God said, you're in sin. You've gone away from me. I created you perfect. But I'm extending a plan of salvation. If you'll believe on Christ as the Savior and trust him to take away your sin, then I'll save you. If you won't, then I'm going to judge you, and my wrath, my righteous wrath, is going to come upon you, and you're going to be punished for your sins. And that's what God says. That's simple. One verse. You believe on the Son, you have eternal life, you're saved forever. If you don't, you're lost, and you will be punished. There will be a judgment day for your sins. So God makes it very, very clear. Now, what about the flood? Well, if there's no God, there's no God to bring a universal flood.
That's right.
They say, oh, there's been a lot of floods, but that's just natural. There's no, and of course, we don't know what the cause of every flood was from a moral standpoint. God was maybe using it to teach people in certain areas certain things. Maybe he wasn't. We don't know. God sometimes brings trials in our life, and the trial is not because we've done any sin. The Bible makes it clear, the case in Job. That's why he gives us Job. Job lost his health. He lost his family. He lost his wealth. He lost everything that he had as far as this world was concerned, and he was suffering greatly, and he hadn't done anything. He had a trial in his life. And God was testing him, and God was strengthening him through that. He had a plan for it. God had his own plans. He brings trials into people's lives sometimes for various reasons. But here Job, a very dedicated believer in Christ, he loved the Lord, and yet he went through many trials. And sometimes people have fires that destroy their home. They have floods. As far as they know, as far as anybody knows, they can't know what the reason is. God has a plan, and God permits things. God uses things like that, but he doesn't always tell us what it is and that we'll understand everything that happens to other people. I think that he can use it to teach the individual. Things have come in my life, and I look at it and think, what's the Lord teaching me? Lord, I don't know what I've sinned in this particular case or sometime I haven't done right. I have to ask the Lord to forgive me and say, Lord, you woke me up. And or sometime I say, well, I'm not sure. But Lord, help me just keep serving you and being faithful. So we don't always know. But the universal flood that came in Noah's day, we know exactly because God tells us exactly it was because of sin on the earth and he was going to destroy the earth. And he did. Well, people that believe in evolution don't believe that they've done any sin because there's no God to sin against. And there wasn't any universal flood to begin with. And they believe that there have been a lot of local floods, but it's just an act of nature with no particular reason behind them. They also believe that they believe the floods do leave deposits, make sedimentary rocks, and there's fossils, the things that die in these floods suddenly, and they're buried, and their bodies decay, and if somebody's killed in something like that, a gigantic flood or a small, but a flood, and they get into a flood, and they're buried in the sediment, and they're kind of airtight, so to speak, it'll become a fossil. You won't you go back exactly to dust as you would if you just, in a normal time, you'd be put in a casket and be put in a grave, and you'd finally be just a bunch of, a handful of dust. But if you're caught in some catastrophe like a volcano, and you're caught in the lava and buried all of a sudden, airtight, then again, you become a fossil. And the same with a flood, a quick burial like that and compacted, that's what causes fossils. So they say, yes, there are fossils and sedimentary rocks, and there were local floods. And then we say, well, I want to ask you about something. How is it that in every high mountain in the earth, near the summit of those floods, we find sedimentary rocks? As the flood began to recede, the first time land would appear would be in those high mountains, and anything that was happened to be that died up there, maybe by drowning, as it recedes, And the sediments carried to be buried in that sediment and compacted and become a fossil. Why is it there's fossils and sedimentary rocks in the highest mountains all over the earth? I read from a scientist last hour, and they said all of the mountains in this earth, near the summit, there are sedimentary rocks with fossils in them. Well, if it only local floods, how did it get that high? You get water up to the summit of Mount Everest, near Mount Everest, the highest mountain in this earth. Everything else would be covered in the earth. Water seeks its own level. You pour water in a glass and just keep it near the one edge, you know what will happen? The water on the other edge will be the same level. I'm not a scientist. I even know that. And if you put water around here, the whole earth, and there's no boundaries, it gets higher and higher and higher pretty good, the high mountains, and it covers it all. Then when it comes down, there's going to be sediment laid in the highest levels, the lower levels, the lower level, and the dead things are up here and here, depending on where they are, and they get buried in that, they get compressed in it, they're going to become fossils. The proof is there was a universal flood, but they won't admit it. Why? Not because of science, because of what they believe, and they don't want to believe that. All right, they believe nations evolved. It was just a matter of evolution. Political systems have been evolved. Moral values evolved. And therefore, what's right today might not be right tomorrow. We live in, like they say, we're living in a changing world. Well, I think to be honest and not steal from your neighbor is what you should do every day throughout your life, through your children's lives, through your grandchildren's lives. Everybody should keep that. God said, thou shalt not steal. And I believe it's wrong to lie. I don't think that's evolving anything. I think it's a fixed principle. You're not to commit adultery. That's a fixed principle. You're not to have any other gods before you. You're not to make any graven images. Insult God as if he was just a piece of stone or something, or a piece of gold. So moral values are not evolving. God gave the moral values when man was first created, was put in his heart. When he got the First Nation was organized as a special nation, the nation of Israel, he gave them the Ten Commandments, which were basic principles that were already in their hearts, that they would have a basic constitution to go by. And that's not something that's evolving. It was something that was handed down. Here it is. This is the way it was when I first created Adam. This is the way it still is. That's what you're supposed to do. And we, because he's our God, he's our creator, he's our benefactor, he's done everything, certainly we should obey him. There's many years are needed to evolve. Why do they need so many years? They can't prove it.
That's right.
It doesn't happen. Say, well, where's the evidence of evolution today? Can you show me one place where a human being is evolving into another kind? Well, it's so slow, we can't see it. I know. Well, what about the fossil record? Well, that's the history of past, and that would go back millions of years. Well, if that goes back millions of years, and you say some of these fossils are millions of years old, we ought to see those different kinds that were a little bit lower than a human being. And then the ones that were a little bit lower than that, they ought to be buried out there somewhere. You know how many fossils they found? Billions. Not millions, billions. There have been billions of fossils that have been found. If there's billions of living creatures back there, and by their own understanding, they say that these fossils, this is their theory, I don't believe it, but they say, well, these fossils are 42 million years old. Let's look and see what we were like back in those days. Let's see, is there something just a little bit less than a human being out there? Well, we don't see him. Well, why not? Where's the intermediate forms? If one kind is evolving into another kind slowly, gradually, over millions of years, and we have the fossil record out there, and you say this is 40 million old, and this is 60 million old, and this is 100 million, and this is 1 billion years old, then where are the fossils that show the intermediate forms? There ought to be the different steps back there somewhere. Well, they can't just show it. And so they're not saying much about it like they used to. And you can't say anything about the present because it's not happening now. They have no evidence of it. No evidence in the present, in the fossil records. There's no evidence there. And there's no evidence that it can ever happen from things we know. And, of course, we don't believe it to begin with, but from their standpoint, what evidence do they have? It is entirely based on belief, their belief, blinded belief in a theory that has absolutely no evidence to support it. None. Now, what God says in the Word, we accept by faith, and then we see things in history and the fossil record and other things that substantiates and fits right in to what He's told us. And we don't find anything that really contradicts it. We believe, they believe. Their belief is not very credible because they don't have the evidence. We believe, but just like we've mentioned before, the creation that's mentioned in the Bible fits with the facts. First law of thermodynamics. The second law of the fall fits right in with that. The third, the fall, the flood, the fossil record fits right in there. It could substantiate that. There was a universal flood. And these intermediate things are intermediate stages are not found in it. Well, this brings us to the last thing for tonight. And what I want to do is just mention that tomorrow we'll be concluding and looking at the credibility of the two systems, creation and evolution, and then not only the credibility, but then the accrediting of the two positions. God accredits by miracles His Word, which teaches creation and the fall and the flood, the basic things in our history, that our foundation in our history. It teaches that, and He backs it up by miracles and things that accredit that. And then when we look at other things that we can see, not miraculous things, that gives it credibility. And we want to look at the credibility and also. And then we'd like to notice some things that claims they make that are just completely false, and why. There's just a lot of evidence to show and why the Bible is true. Okay. You're probably getting the idea that I'm for creation. I'm prejudiced. Well, that's true. I am. That is, and I'm against evolution. But I think we have evidence. And if anybody believes in evolution, well, I want to help you, really. And I'm going to be very frank and show you what I see in the Bible. I hope you'll think about it. And maybe God can help you to see to see the truth. And give that up and believe what the Bible says. And if you're not saved, you've never trusted Christ, by all means, I hope you see that you need Christ. You're a sinner, and you might trust Him. Well, we're going to close there tonight. Tomorrow night, we'll get into this last area, and we'll be bringing you some quotes and things from science, and we'll have another sheet here to guide us.